From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fourth day of September 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer. He's at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, the input cost to farm jumped 9% in 2007, but that's nothing compared to the projected 08 increase for this year, 16%. And sugarcane producers in Brazil have hired lawyers to check if the U.S. ethanol tariffs are WTO compliant. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. On the subject of global agricultural interest, Homegrown Deere & Company is here on campus today recruiting future employees. I had a discussion with them about the future job market for this bleed green and want to be buried in moline corporate giant. At the end of this half hour, stay with us because Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. You know it all happens on the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here's the way the numbers settled in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat pit. September contract at $7.55 and a quarter, 3 cents higher for the day. December at $7.77, up 2 and a quarter. And the March contract at $8.75, 2 and a quarter higher. September corn futures, $5.49 and a quarter, up 2 and 3 quarters. December at $5.64 and a half, 2 and 1 quarter higher for the afternoon. And the March contract at $5.83 and a quarter, up 2 and a quarter. May futures, $5.95 and a quarter, up 2 and 1 quarter. September soybean futures at $12.34, down 17 cents. November, $12.35, 16 and a half lower. And January futures at $12.52, down 16 and a half. March contract, $12.64, down 16 and a quarter for the day. September bean meal futures at $355.40 a ton, up $2.30. September bean oil at $49.53, down 95. October live cattle futures today at $103.30, 15 cents higher. December futures, 17 and a half cents lower at $105.30. Sep feeder cattle at $110.77 and a half, up 22 and a half. The October at $110.37 and a half, a dime higher. And the October lean hogs at $69.02 and a half cents, 37 and a half cents higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what some of the outside markets look like on the afternoon. The nearby contract and the crude oil is trading in October at $107.85. That's $1.50 lower a barrel. November down $1.97 at $107.90. September ethanol at $2.23 and a half, a penny lower for the day. Natural gas at $7.32 and 3 tenths, up 5 and 9 tenths. And the RBOB at $2.74 is 2 and 6 tenths of a cent lower this afternoon. Propane futures are now trading at $1.65. They're 7 cents lower. And the gold contract at $797.90 is down $4.80. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,204 is down just about 328 points at this hour. The dollar at 78.52 is up 0.44 on the afternoon. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region. From our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer, says in western Illinois, it'll be mostly cloudy, some scattered showers tonight. Most of those will come before midnight. In eastern Illinois, cloudy, rain during the evening. Those will taper to scattered showers overnight. In Indiana, cloudy with rain and thunderstorms. Lows will range from 48 in far northwestern Illinois to 70 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, says Ed, in western Illinois, partly sunny. In eastern Illinois, cloudy early, then becoming partly sunny. In Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers. Those will be most numerous in the eastern sections. Highs tomorrow will range from 70 in the north to 80 in the far south. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon, the fourth day of September. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, you know, I still want the market to go up, but it doesn't seem to want to go up all of the time. How do you read what's been happening across the commodities markets and this big dip in the Dow Jones Industrial Average today? And, well, harvest just about to begin in the Midwest.
Well, we're still in a hangover state, basically, from the June bubble that we saw in commodities. You know, basically the month of July we spent liquidating, and we continued that liquidation. And of course, when you get a market build up with high open interest, when we start into a decline and the liquidation just leads to more liquidation, it's kind of like playing dominoes. So we're still in that phase. I do think we're getting fairly close to maybe exhausting that phase with the announcement of some of these bigger funds now, you know, having gone broke or have basically been forced out of their whole position. So we're kind of getting to that point. Then I think that, you know, the next stage here then is for the market to try to find some stability, a point where traders now would be willing to get back and start taking a position. Right now, with some of the wide price swings that we're having, fear of continued liquidation, and then of course, you know, this is the time of year when on average the combines start rolling. Of course, this year we're going to be a couple weeks behind that average, but it's kind of hard to if you're a speculator or if you're a trader to kind of want to come in here and kind of own this market right here until you begin to kind of get a little better idea of what the crop sizes are out there, what farmer selling habits are going to be.
Well, will that come to fruition? They'll be able to move into the marketplace after USDA's report? I would think farmers and combine should be rolling pretty heavily or just getting to start
rolling. Well, yeah, USDA's crop report is going to take some uncertainty out of the marketplace. Now, you know, how much, I don't know. My guess is that, you know, for the most part, the trade kind of feels maybe USDA's numbers might be a hair rich. But on the other hand, I mean, the beans today kind of took it on the chin,
right,
with the trade kind of feeling that these late rains here, late season rains, can still be a benefit to a lot of these late planted soybeans. So, I mean, I think that's why the beans were kind of down here more so. The corn was able to hold steady because rain's probably not helping corn at this point anymore. Corn is what it is, but beans can still be helped by these rains.
You think there's a chance that it could press low enough to touch those recent lows?
Yeah, I would not rule that out. I mean, from a technician's point of view, what a bullish technician is looking at, there's a couple of different patterns. What he's going to be looking at is that this could be a possible right shoulder of a head and shoulders bottom formation.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not a right shoulder of a head and shoulders bottom formation, then you would begin to say, well, then the next shot would be maybe like a double bottom. Then we would go back to those lows that we had here about 3 weeks ago. So that's what chartists are looking at. You know, the ones that kind of feel it's a right shoulder of a head and shoulders bottom, they're going to get in there and kind of probe the long side cautiously or lightly. They'll have stops underneath the market, but that's what, and what they're betting on is that probably next week's USDA report is going to give them some fundamental reasoning why it is a right shoulder. Now, in Bean's case, you know, like I said, rain weather can still impact beans, probably more so. Some of this rain is going to help a lot of these late planted beans. So beans might be more in a position to maybe go down and maybe put in a double bottom. So, I mean, that's what chartists are going to be looking at. The moving average systems are kind of mixed, depending upon how you want to read them. But, like I said, we're still kind of in this hangover states. I mean, we're working off expensive inventory. End users bought a lot of expensive inventory during the month of June. Most of the end users are kind of 60-day, 90-day type buyers. So, you know, we are in that window now where maybe that their inventory levels are getting worked off, and they might begin to start, you know, doing some end-user buying, and that could provide some underlying support to the market. But I think for the most part, the trade, the market probably needs a breather, and we'll kind of see, you know, what the crop sizes are. I mean, basically, if you want the market to go up, Todd, you need to get about 9 out of 10 of your analysts on WLL to start telling everybody to sell, and it'll go up then.
That's probably right. Hey, I'm pretty interested in the fact that you're using this term hangover to describe what we're in at the moment. Does that mean the big party is over, in your opinion, that the big party
for
this
time around? Well, the party's over probably for this year now, because it's going to be a while before we get the enthusiasm on a speculative commodity run that we had during the, you know, April, May, June time frame. Now, that doesn't mean that the market can't rally, but I think the couple things that I'm looking at, you know, if the corn market's going to rally, it's going to have to rally based upon worries over 09 corn plantings, and I think that will be led by December 09 futures. It'll be a full carry market, or not necessarily full carry, but it'll be a carry type market. I think that's going to be the same case with wheat. I think I've been out in the country here for the last couple of weeks. I'm beginning to smell that wheat acres are coming down. So if the wheat market is going to rally, it is going to rally in the 09 type, July 09 futures are going to kind of rally and kind of begin to reflect the fact that maybe wheat supplies are going to begin to tighten. Now, I think soybeans is a little different situation. I think soybeans could be more in a bull spread situation, that if beans are going to rally, it could be mostly the 08 beans, and that would be a function of the market, is to try to entice South American farmers to plant as many beans as they could to increase overall world supplies. So we're at the point where the market needs to, kind of get rested up here, and then we can go for another party. But that's kind of about where we're at, I think, right now. You got to see what the crop sizes are. We got to see what farmer selling habits are going to be. And, I mean, most people in the trade kind of feel that farmers are sold up enough at much lower levels that, you know, the early deliveries are all going to be delivers on those early contract sales that they made last December and January. And the remaining inventory that they have, they're probably going to be generally tight holders of that, hoping that the market will show better pricing opportunities as we go into, you know, late fall or so.
Dan, have fun in the countryside, and we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Thursday afternoon. In just a few moments, Dave Dickey will be here to take a complete look at today's agricultural newscast.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, USDA's latest annual report on farm income and expenses shows escalating input costs. The report says costs rose nearly 9% in 2007, but this year the increase is projected at nearly 16%, or almost $40.5 billion. Among the categories where costs are continuing to increase, seeds, fertilizer, fuels and oils, repair and maintenance, total labor, marketing, storage, transportation, and capital consumption. Still, for the sector, 2008 cash receipts are projected to jump by $51 billion. That's up 10% from 2007 and more than double the 10-year average. Brazil's Sugarcane Industry Association has hired lawyers to study whether the U.S. ethanol tariff is World Trade Organization compliant. Brazil's foreign minister says that there's a good chance that Brazil will make a case within 2 months against the U.S. over ethanol at the WTO. Brazilian exporters say the 54-cent a gallon U.S. import tariff on ethanol is an obstacle to shipments of sugarcane-based ethanol to the U.S. A recorded message posted on USDA's website says the department may reconsider early release of Conservation Reserve Program acres. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer said on the message, if conditions change, he, quote, will reevaluate everything that we have on the table, and certainly one of those things is the early release of Conservation Reserve Program land. Chinese officials say the PRC plans to limit the expansion of local soybean processing capacity in order to help local soybean processors to gain market share. China aims to limit soybean processing capacity to 75 million metric tons annually by 2010 and 65 million tons by 2012. China's soybean processing capacity in 2007 was 77 million metric tons, but only 44% of that capacity was used, it said, as the total capacity exceeded demand. And ConAgra cut its first quarter earnings forecast due to poor consumer food sales. The packaged foods company says earnings are expected to be slightly below its June forecast of 26 to 28 cents a share. ConAgra will release its full report on September 18th. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming here at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. You can listen to this program and other agricultural programming anytime you'd like there, or sign up to have it delivered to you as a podcast automatically each and every day. Also, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Now, up next, agricultural companies like John Deere are growing. And when a company grows, it needs fresh minds. I'll have more from the first annual John Deere Days right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Deere & Company was founded in 1837. Every farm boy and girl knows John Deere made the plow that broke the prairie. Today, his company's grown from a one-man blacksmith shop to a corporation headquartered in Moline, Illinois, that employs some 52,000 people worldwide. John Deere consists of four major business segments: agricultural equipment, lawn and garden equipment, construction and forestry equipment, and credit. Now, those segments are all growing in different ways, and that's why Mindy Brown and her colleagues set up two tents on the University of Illinois campus. They were here recruiting for the first annual John Deere Days.
We're looking for students with really any background, engineering, accounting, finance, economics, marketing, supply management, IT. There's a role in John Deere for everyone.
Brown, an accountant by training, says because the company is growing, it needs to fill jobs in the heartland of America and all across the globe. She should know. Mindy Brown, a farm girl from Villa Grove, Illinois, is the manager of financial integration for Deere & Company's business development unit.
Our department's role in business development is to, look at all these new strategic alliances, look into new growth opportunities, within our core business, core agriculture, construction, markets, lawn and grounds care, but also, all the other things, the wind energy, landscapes, irrigation. So our department's role is, look into possible mergers, acquisitions. Specifically, my role with the accounting background is looking more, if we do acquire or enter into a JV, is to work on the integration on the finance aspects of it. and any other financial analysis required.
This forward-looking view Mindy Brown has of Deere & Company makes her uniquely qualified to peg the types of jobs Deere needs today and in the I'm a high schooler now but going to college soon future. What career path might I follow if I want to work for the green and the yellow?
I would definitely say technology. The IT background is a must. And so I think a concentration or even a minor in IT along with a major in engineering or even accounting would just get you a plus with really within any organization out there, I think, within the next 5 to 10 years.
Of course, the University of Illinois would like to be the place where these students develop their career choices. And the land grant in Urbana-Champaign certainly has the right contacts at John Deere. That shouldn't stop parents and high schoolers and job seekers in general from visiting the John Deere website. The company has one just for recruiting. It's appropriately named www.johndeere.jobs. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to take our Thursday look at the cash grain market. Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois, joins us, well, for the very last time in his current position. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Congratulations. Where are you headed from?
Thank you. I'm going to be working for Aventine Renewable Energy over in Pekin, coordinating grain origination, corn origination for a couple of their plants.
This is the ethanol production facility in Pekin, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, well, congratulations, and maybe we'll be able to talk with you at some point about the energy markets, but we'll let you settle in a little bit over at Aventine. Thank you very much for all the time you've spent with WIL over the years. I know the listeners have appreciated, and certainly Dave and I have learned a great deal from you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'd just like to say that the same here. I appreciate the opportunity I've had over the years, and I really hope that the listeners out there appreciate the quality of analysis that they get on WILL, from the cash grain to the futures market to the technicians. And I know when I go to meetings and am on Commodity Week and some of those things, that there's a lot of times where I certainly learn something from the other guys that are on the panel. So I just wanted to pass that along.
It's not that we're all pulling in the same direction, but we're all pulling together, and I think that's what makes this service really pretty unique.
All pulling together, but yet a lot of unique backgrounds and different areas that the analysts come from.
Okay, well, we have 1 minute left. Any final word from you on cash grain markets?
No, I will just say cash grain here is 516 for fall. 1165. As I move forward in my career, I just, you know, it's the people that you deal with that really make it all worthwhile, and I certainly appreciate that to all my listeners, all the people I've met over the years of meetings and things like that.
Bill, good luck, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you at Aventine and Pekin. Are you going to be making a drive there every day, or will you be?
Yeah, I'll just be driving there every day from Bloomington for now.
Well, be careful on the highways.
Okay, thank you, Todd.
Thanks much, Bill.
Bye.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. This is his final broadcast with us here on the Closing Market Report. Been with the station and the university for several years. We thank him for his time and his service. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Peter Levitt. He's an agricultural meteorologist and will help us take a complete look at the weather for the afternoon.
It's National Macadamia Nut Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1801, Cullen Whipple was born. An American inventor and machinist, he patented the first practical screw machine in the U.S. for making pointed screws. Before his invention, screws had blunt ends, which required the drilling of a starter hole. In 1888, George Eastman was issued a patent for his box camera. This design was the first mass-produced camera in the world, and it brought photography to all. As described in its advertising, the operation was simple. Pull the string, turn the key, press the button. Only 22 ounces, the camera required no tripod or table for support. And it took 100 2.5-inch in diameter pictures before needing to be reloaded. By the way, on the same day his patent was issued, Eastman also registered a trade name that's still used today, Kodak. And in 1917, Irving Colburn died, an American inventor and manufacturer. His process for fabricating continuous sheets of flat glass made the mass production of glass windows possible. He formed the Colburn Machine Glass Company in August of 1906, installed drawing machines at two factories in 1908, but went bankrupt in 1911 before the technology was perfected. The Toledo Glass Company purchased Colburn's patents in 1912 and hired him soon afterwards. He began refining the process at the Toledo Glass Experimental Plant, where its first draw of sheet glass took place on 25 November of 1913. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Joining us today is Pete Levitt, meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Peter.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a wet walk from my Mumford Hall office to the car about 5 blocks at around 12:30 this afternoon. I think it'll stay wet for a while yet today and then start to dry out. Is that right?
That's right. It is going to end. It's going to be quite heavy, of course, as it comes down now. Most of central northern Illinois are getting moderate to heavy rain showers right now. As I think everybody knows, these are the remnants of Hurricane Gustav moving through the area. The storm center itself is moving from Missouri to northwestern Indiana, and I think the heaviest rain will shift eastward into just the eastern counties, maybe Lake Livingston County. This evening will be getting some rain while it ends farther west, and then the whole system moves on eastward, and we can look forward to some better weather over the weekend with cooler than normal temperatures right on through the week. And maybe a few showers late Monday and Tuesday, nothing very impressive. It looks like just a cool week. And the good news is that it had been fairly dry prior to this rain coming along in most areas that are receiving the rain right now. So they're not looking for much in the way of flooding, even though you're going to get 2 to 4 inch amounts out of this system.
What do we see in places like Iowa, Minnesota, southern Minnesota, and then Indiana and Ohio? Because Indiana and Ohio, the eastern Corn Belt in particular, have been fairly dry.
Yeah, they're going to get the rain from this system as it comes through tomorrow and tomorrow night, and then clear out on the weekend. So that won't hurt them. We're not looking for much additional stuff in the upper Midwest, Minnesota, down through Iowa. Those areas should be dry, and they will be cool, but they... Nothing that's threatening as far as the low temperatures are concerned. Temperatures in the mid-70s, daytime mid to low 70s, overnight lows mostly in the low 50s through central Iowa and northward. So nothing really very upsetting about the weather. It'll be dry there, and let's take Iowa. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday look fairly dry until late Sunday night, and Monday some light showers, and then drier weather again.
And a quick look at South America as they set up for their planting season, please.
Well, South America is doing pretty well almost everywhere except parts of northern Argentina. They're still a little dry. They've had good moisture in Brazil. Now it's mostly warm and dry, which is pushing the winter wheat along and helping the harvest of sugar cane and some coffee down there. But the weather, I would say, except for that northern section of Argentina, looks fairly favorable so far as we go into the summer period there.
Thanks much, Pete.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.